The title of this morning's lesson is, Are You Neglecting Salvation? Isn't neglect an interesting word? When you think about what neglect is, you might think about that. And you might consider how it's something that you do that's bad, but you don't set out to do it that way. For instance, have you ever went to your furnace and pulled out the filter? And you look at it and you hold it up to the light, and instead of being able to see through it, all the dust just falls down on you because it is so plugged. I really doubt that when you changed the filter the time before, let's say someone else changed it the time before, that you went to it and you said, you know what, I'm not going to change this thing again until it's just totally plugged solid. I had a friend who I heard recently who illustrated it this way. He says, not too many people buy a new car, and as they drive it home, they say, you know the oil that's in that car? That's the only oil that car is ever going to get. I'm just going to let that be the oil forever. We don't do things that way. Or maybe we do things that way, but we don't intend to do things that way. But sometimes there's things that creep up, and because of neglect, they don't get done. Because of neglect, maybe burn up the blower motor in the furnace, or our car, it may go for a good number of miles, but eventually you're on the side of the road and you say, you know, when was the last time I changed that oil? Maybe I neglected to do that. The scriptures speak of neglecting, as was read for us, neglecting our salvation. Is it possible that I could neglect things that are important to my salvation that I need to give attention to? That's what we'd like to talk about this morning. As always, what I try to do is preach things that I need to hear. And maybe in doing that, you'll find some useful information there too. I have to ask myself, is Paul neglecting salvation? But I ask you to fill your name in. Not your neighbors, not your husband, not your wife. Don't give them sore ribs. Take the word. Let's each of us apply it. We'll be better because of it. Are you neglecting salvation? When we look at that, we might consider some things that are indications. The passage we looked at in Hebrews chapter 2 might tell us that by neglecting study, we are neglecting our salvation. When we look there in Hebrews chapter 2, and I'll look at the first three verses, look at what he says. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. The preaching of the word, the teaching of the word, lest we drift away. For if the word of God, that was spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The message we have today, the message of salvation in Christ, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. I want you to think about that for a minute. Here he says that when we don't pay attention to the Word of God, when we don't study and know and hear the Word of God, we are neglecting salvation. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? Now, here's what we're talking about. I try to speak in a way so as not to be misunderstood. When we don't attend the services where there is preaching and teaching and worship of God and focus on Him and His Word, we are neglecting the Word of God and a very important part of our salvation. It's just like when we don't change the furnace filter, we don't change the oil, and maybe we don't set out and say, you know what, I'm going to skip this week and maybe next week, and I missed a month now. We don't start out that way. We don't start out to quit. But neglect builds. And we don't give our attention to the Word of God like we should. But it's more than just the assembly. You notice that in the announcements frequently, whether it's me or one of the other elders, we mention to be on time for class, to be prepared for class, to have your lessons done. You know, that really stems from our classes downstairs. We want the parents to be emphasizing to their children the importance of Bible study by making sure they have their lessons done for class. But maybe the problem is sometimes a little deeper than that. It doesn't go very far with our children to tell them, did you get your lesson done? Is your studying done? Are you prepared for class? And then they see you coming to class with a blank sheet, maybe no idea what the lesson's about. You don't come with anything to add because you've not even read the text for the class. Is that possible? Our children will learn from, grandchildren will learn. Those around us will learn by what we do as well as what we teach them. We can tell them, get your lesson done for class. We probably wouldn't want to hear it. But what would you do if they said, how's that going with you, Dad? Mom, you must have had a really hard lesson because there's an awful lot of blanks on your sheet. You don't have to show off, but it is a good thing for your children to see you sitting down with an open Bible and at least reading the text that you'd study in Bible class, being prepared for your grandchildren, those close to you, your spouse, to see you with an open Bible studying the Word of God. When we neglect Bible study, we are neglecting something so important to our salvation. How shall we escape, the Hebrew writer says. How is it that we can escape if we neglect this word that was spoken by the Lord, the apostles continued giving that to us? How shall we escape? Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's that word that we're studying. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. Do you see how importantly tied it is to our salvation? I'll just ask you to ask yourself, do you study God's Word? Do you open up the book? Whether it's in preparation for class or just something you want to read from the Word of God, the work you're putting forth, is it something... Is there a layer of dust on your Bible? It needs to be cleaned because it's not opened. If you neglect study, I'm afraid you're neglecting salvation. Me too. Could I be neglecting salvation because I'm not living my confession? I am just absolutely thrilled when one comes forward to be baptized. When recently Alicia came forward and Mark asked her about her confession and she says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I was thrilled on Wednesday night when Gabe came forward and he offered that confession. He stood up with a loud voice out of a little body and he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed Christ. What a great thing. Most of us have done that at some point in our life. But you know, there's more to that confession than saying it one time. Look at what the Bible says in connection with confession and salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, the Scripture says, but what does it say? The Word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you see the connection there? Yes, we need to do like that Ethiopian man. We need to confess that. But I believe our confession is something that we make prior to our baptism, but something that in addition to that, we live out. And we tell people by our actions and by our words and by the way in which we live, Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He is the Lord of my life. Consider, when you think about that, Hebrews 10 and verse 23. I believe Romans 10 is talking about that confession we make. He talks about in that chapter other aspects of our salvation. But look at what Hebrews 10 says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. What is the confession of our hope? That Jesus is the Christ? He's God's Son. He is our Savior. Here he says that we need to hold fast to that confession. We need to live it out. People need to see Christ living in us. If we have a concept, well, I made that confession. You know, it's kind of like the guy who said that his wife says, why don't you ever tell me that you love me? And he says, well, I told you when we got married, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. That's probably not going to work with your wife. And that's not going to work with the Lord. To tell him, I believe that you're the Christ. I believe that you're the Son of God. And Lord, if I change my mind about that, I'll surely let you know. We have to live that out. Let those around us know. To be that example. And if we're not committed to that confession every day, living it out, we're missing out and we're neglecting something that could cost us our salvation. Consider another. We have six in all, by the way, if you're counting. So number three. You know, we can neglect our salvation by being distracted. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'd have you to look at what the Word of God says. And it says in Romans 13 and verse 11, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It is possible that we don't do all the things that we ought to do. We're not paying attention. We're not alert. Because we lose track of what everything is about. I spoke for a few minutes, just a few, at the nursing home this morning. And I pointed out to them how Peter says that we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. And how our hope is for the salvation of our souls. But there are some trials we might have to undergo. And so don't lose sight of where we're going. It's easy to be distracted. You ever been a distracted driver? You know, we have laws about the texting and driving and making, I don't know if there's laws against it or not, but maybe you're making phone calls, or sometimes I'll see something and say, well, look at that cow there. Look, he's got a young one. I can become distracted. And I'm not paying attention to where I'm going. Sometimes in this world there's things that are really relatively unimportant, but they distract us. And we got to wake up, because salvation draws nearer every day. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, for now he says, and it quotes, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. And he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You got to pay attention to that today. When I think about this passage, I kind of think about when I had to take exams, or more likely a paper was due in college. Some of you have had that experience, maybe in high school. You have a 3,000 word paper due, and they'll give some date, and I go, oh wow, that's so far away. And so I will not pay attention to it, and all of a sudden, it's the day. The Lord says, and so you're scrambling to get 3,000 words down. The Lord says, don't scramble. He says, now's when you need to obey. It's right now. It's not later on. It's not saying I've got time. It's not saying I'll wait. Don't become distracted with everything else. When I was in college, everything could distract me. Oh, you know, you got a paper to write. I know, but maybe there's a friend I want to talk to, or maybe there's some place I want to go, something I want to do. I heard that there was an alligator down by the river. I went to school in Florida. I need to go see that. Used to play Miss Pac-Man. And so I'd show up at Cheryl's window and I'd say, "You want to go play Pac-Man?" And the paper didn't get written until the last minute. So what? Salvation, the Lord says, don't put off unimportant things. Don't get distracted with flashy things. Realize what's important. Don't neglect your salvation because you're distracted. You know, the Bible talks about repentance. And sometimes we neglect our salvation by not really turning away from sin. Repent means to turn. And by not turning away from sin like we ought to, by not really leaving it behind, we can neglect something that's so important to our salvation. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." When we're really so sorry for the wrong things we've done in the past that we'll never turn back to those things again. I'll never turn back and go in that way ever again because it's so awful to me. You know, when the Word speaks about the dog returning to its vomit, to a sow having been washed or wallowing in the mire, it's just so disgusting to us. I'll not go back that way again. He says godly sorrow produces that change, that repentance, that turning around, which leads to salvation. But you know, we can neglect that. We can soften sin. And in our lives, we can look at that and say, "Well, was that really all that bad?" It's no worse than what a lot of people do. When we don't truly repent, we're not really turned away from it. When we don't see the ugliness of it. Those illustrations are given to us in Scripture to help us see how awful sin is. But you know where I turn when I want to see the ugliness of sin? I turn and read about the cross. I turn and read about one who was so highly exalted, the pure and precious Son of God, who was spit on and beaten and nailed up on the cross and was gasping for every breath, who was ridiculed and pierced. And the reason it had to be done was because of sin. It shows me how ugly sin really is. And how I need to turn away and I need to hate those wrong things. And when I do the wrong, I need to feel so horrible about it. And I need to hate the wrong so much that I say, "I will never do that again." And commit myself to not going back, but going forward. You know, we need to trust in our hope that the Lord has a better place for us. One way in which we might neglect salvation is when we don't really trust God and believe in a better place that He has for us. When you look at what the Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, this is part of what we read this morning at the nursing home. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you really believe in heaven? Do you really believe that if you're found faithful, that there is a better place? Do you believe that if you're a Christian, that you have an inheritance? He says here that it can't be corrupted. It can't rust. It can't get old. It can't become ruined. It doesn't fade one little bit over time. And it's reserved in heaven. And that place is kept by the power of God. He calls it our salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. If you never think about heaven, and you never make that as your focus, if when we sing, "I'll live in glory," and when the saved, or when we all get to heaven, you can't just get a little excited about heaven and going home to be with the Lord. You're not trusting in the hope, and I'm afraid we might be neglecting something that's so important to our salvation. In Revelation 7, verses 9 through 10, look at the words there. The vision John saw, he says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" A place we long to be. Are you neglecting salvation because you never think of heaven? You're so busy. Maybe it goes along with that point we made earlier, distracted. So busy with so many things in life. Is it possible that I am, that I'm scrambling around doing this and that? And if you got kids at home, you're so busy and you got a job and you just can't take a deep breath and pause and sit down and say, "You know, when this is over, I'm going home to be with the Lord." Well, I believe that's five. We've got one more. You know, we're neglecting our salvation if we're failing to contend earnestly against every false way. You probably know I'm going to go to that passage in Jude. And I am, but Jude writes about those in his day who were teaching things that were not right. If someone would teach some false thing, if I would stand up here and teach you something that was clearly wrong, or someone else stand here and say something that was not in Scripture, that is their own man-made idea, would you identify that? Would you be able to point out to them, there is something not right? Would you have the courage to stand up? Would I? Well, you know, I can see myself sitting there. You know, we've got this guest speaker, and I really hate to insult him and everything. You know, I hate to insult the Lord, worse. And I hate for these folks who have come to hear the Word to be led astray by some false teaching. Well, that passage says this: "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation," this is a salvation message, "I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ." He says there's people who teach things that just aren't right, and they will not help you to be saved. I'm writing to you about our common salvation. And so watch out that you don't lose it because of people who teach you things that are their own ideas and won't save, who don't recognize the authority of our Savior. Do you know God's Word well enough to identify the true and the false? Well, I want you to think about those things. I will. Neglect. I don't think we set out to not study or to forget about our confession or to get distracted with earthly things. I don't think we set out to take sin back into our life. I don't think we set out to not think about heaven. And I don't think we set out to be unprepared for false teaching. But it's like the oil change. It's like the furnace filter. It's neglect. It creeps in. All of a sudden we realize, you know, I haven't focused on the right things for all day, or all week, or all month, or for a long time. If you think about this, maybe the greatest way you can neglect salvation is not coming to God in obedience to the gospel. Will there be one here who needs to turn away from sin and be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away? Don't neglect that. You have an opportunity today. Today is here. The day of salvation is right now. You can obey that and you can do that. It is possible that there is someone in this assembly who has done that and turned away and turned their back on the commitment that they've made. Have you ever been hurt by someone who was your friend and then wasn't? You know, sometimes that's hard for me to forgive. We're told to forgive. Well, what would Almighty God require of someone who left Him? I want to tell you that we have this amazing, loving, gracious God who says that if you'll turn away, if you're my child and you've left me, you've left my care and you've left my service, this amazing, gracious, merciful God who says, if you'll turn away from that and you'll do the right again and you'll just ask me to forgive you in prayer, maybe asking fellow Christians to pray with you and for you about that. You know what God says? He says, I'll forgive you. Every Christian sitting here today has at some point in time in their life had to ask God, maybe many times, maybe this week, had to ask God, would you forgive me? What I did was wrong, and I never want to do that again. If that's what you need to do, why don't you come forward? Or if you need to obey the gospel, why don't you come forward? We'll help you with that. And you can leave here with the hope of eternal life. Let's do that right now as we'll stand and sing.